There never has been a day in which Bible teaching was so needed. We often say, hey, we're committed to the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. And I believe that more than ever before. This is the greatest book ever written. This is the original document of how everything got started and how it's all going to end up. Isn't that amazing? And I don't know whether you're a believer or not, but I read the last chapter and we win. Amen? Now take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel for no other reason to find it. Comes right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 37. The pastor has asked me to speak on the subject of hope, and I'm delighted to do so. We're going to this weekend tell you about hope in a detailed way, in a way that perhaps you have not heard before. Hope is a big subject and a wonderful word, is it not? We all need hope. It's amazing to me how people have lost hope. Over the last years, since 9/11, we have seen a decrease in America's confidence in this world. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse every year. You can't sit and watch TV every night and see the little terror elevations, different colors coming across your TV screen, and not be slightly concerned. If you get on the web and you start looking at intelligence websites, and there are many of them, did I do that? How do you back it up? Did I back it up? How do you back it up? What did I do? There you go. I'm not ready for that yet. But when you get on these intelligence websites and you learn what's going on in the world, if you don't have confidence, you don't know what the original document, the Bible, says, it is easy to lose hope. There are 8,000 terror cells right now in America that we know of. The head of Homeland Security down in Southern California is a friend of mine. And I asked him about it. He said, well, we know who they are, we know where they are, but unless they commit a crime, we can't do anything about it. Muslims have a lot of patience. They really don't need to do anything right now because they have a government in the United States that says they are a peaceful religion. But Islam is not a peaceful religion. It's a religion of hatred and violence, even toward themselves. We hear all kinds of arguments about whether we should have gone to the war in Iraq or not. But I can assure you, having not only been in Islamic countries but been arrested there, I can assure you that America has lost their intellectual brain over what Islam is all about. It's so serious, I don't even know where to start. But I'm going to talk to you about hope from God's point of view. You see, what America needs desperately right now is true hope. I'm not talking about whistling in the dark and hoping something is so when you have no evidence of it or no proof of it. I'm talking about real hope. Hope that is rooted on facts. Facts that are going to take place on planet Earth. And there's only one place that gives you an accurate and reliable account of what is going to take place. And that's the Bible. Now, whether you know it or not, the Bible's biggest subject next to the Lord himself is Israel. Israel is currently hated more than it has ever been hated in history. It's getting worse. I'm a member of the World Jewish Congress, and they put out a little anti-Semitic bulletin every month, and they have it alphabetized according to the countries of the world and what kind of anti-Jewish activities are going on. I was saving them for quite a long time, but I'm not saving them anymore. It's distressing. It's depressing. Every month, things are worse than they were the last month. The whole situation in Europe is much like existed before the Holocaust under Hitler. It's back the same way again. And of course, this time it's more dangerous because of the sophisticated weaponry that's going around in the world. We also have problems like, should we be in Iraq or not, while we watch Islam unable to control itself towards itself. You hear people on the news tell you it's kind of a civil war over there. Well, that's been going on for years. Sunnis kill Shiites, Shiites kill Sunnis, and both of them hate the Kurds, who are the descendants of the ancient Medes. If they leave Kurdistan alone and let them be a separate republic, which is what they want, that one problem would be solved. And by the way, they're pro-West and pro-Israel. But the Shiites and Sunnis are not. We know that at least 25% of Iraq is a Shiite. Who are the Shiites? They are the radical Islamic fundamentalists who have taken over Iran. They started Islamic Republic, actually in 1974, but accomplished it by 1979. And the ancient name of Persia, its original name was Elam. Then it became Persia through most of history, from the Persian Empire until modern times. Until 1979, they officially became Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, Iran is a radical Islamic group. The Shiites hate the Sunnis. Who are the Sunnis? Well, they're the ones in possession of the Islamic holy places. Saudi Arabia, Sunni. Saddam Hussein was Sunni. Syria is Sunni. But Iran is Shiite. Now, when we take a look at the terrorist groups in the world, whether you're looking at Hamas or Fatah or the Islamic Jihad or Al-Qaeda, etc., these are all Shiites. They're not Sunnis. Now, the message of Shiite Muslim teaching is world domination. They actually believe that their brand of Sharia law and Islam is going to control the entire world. They also believe in a Messiah. By the way, they do have a lot of teaching about Jesus. You might be surprised. They have a whole website designed for evangelicals to look at as to how they agree with us a lot of things about Jesus. There are a few slight differences. For instance, they believe Jesus is coming back again. However, that's an interesting problem they have because they don't believe he was crucified or rose again from the dead. But they have him showing up again. And when he comes, he's going to get married, according to them. He's going to have 19 children. That's interesting. He's going to live for a few years. By the way, they do believe he's going to do some very bad things in Armageddon. He's going to kill all the Jews and Christians. Now, that's an odd thing. All these people that believe in him, believe in the Messiah of Israel, but Islam says he's going to kill them all. Then Jesus dies, and of course, we still have Muhammad. Now, you have to understand that Islam is a closed system. That means it's very difficult, once you're in it, to get out of it without being killed. It also is very difficult to understand it because it's a closed system. They're not going to tell you anything in any debate or any discussion. They're just going to hammer on you as to why you're not tolerant of Muslims in this country. That's what it's all about. Well, what is happening in the world? Nobody knows. As a matter of fact, our world leaders are in absolute confusion. You say, well, that's not George Bush, is it? Oh, yeah. George Bush. Well, if we had Bill Clinton, we'd still know. He's in confusion, too. So is Hillary. Absolutely all the Democratic candidates are in confusion, and so are all the Republicans. They're in confusion. So the question is, who knows what's really going on? The answer, nobody on earth knows. But there's one in heaven who knows, and he has mapped it all out and told us how it's going to turn out. And it's not a very pleasant thing to read. There are terrible days coming to planet earth. You think we got trouble now? There are terrible days. If you go to my website, which is davidhocking.org, you can listen to the broadcast 24 hours a day. You don't have to listen to a radio station. But we also put articles on there. One of the number one questions we've received from all around the world, because we have 152 countries, 500,000 people every day listening to that broadcast on the internet alone. And the number one question they wanted to know in the last 2 weeks is about Iran and the nuclear weapons of Iran. It took me exactly 2 weeks going on every kind of intelligence website, including the Israeli Mossad, CIA, everything I could find out, to find out the truth of what's going on in Iran. They actually have 55 nuclear sites, not one, and most of them are underground. Most of them have 50 feet of solid concrete wall protecting them, which means that even buster bombs would have a hard time taking them out. But now we have a lot of discussions on the news now about whether we should take on Iran or not, or negotiate with them. By the way, a long time ago, hostile enemies like we see with Islam today tried to get a leader in Israel named Nehemiah, you know him by Nehemiah. They tried to get him to negotiate with them. They said, let's go out to the plain of Ono and discuss this. And Nehemiah said to him, oh no. No, he wouldn't negotiate with him. Negotiations have never worked. Since September 13, 1993, when the Oslo peace process was announced by Bill Clinton in the presence of the late Yasser Arafat and the late Yitzhak Rabin, front page of papers all over America had bold print. I still kept mine. Peace at last. Well, it's been nothing but terror and horror and killing and murder ever since. 10 times they've tried to get Israel to give up land, which they have done, unfortunately, never to achieve peace. You don't negotiate with your enemy. That is a part of the problem. So we're going to try negotiations now. That was announced in the paper a couple days ago. We're going to negotiate now with Iran. Well, that's going to go nowhere. In Muslim teaching, they tell you always negotiate with the enemy to find out how vulnerable they are to the attack that we are going to bring. So why do you think they want to negotiate? But the fact is, we got a world that's crazy, and in Israel, it's worse. Last summer, thanks to our U.S. administration stopping Israel's military from using their arsenal, it looks like Israel lost a war in Lebanon to Hezbollah, who's financed by Iran and Syria. Hezbollah is a terror organization dedicated to the destruction of Israel and the United States. So is Hamas, so is Fatah, so is Islamic Jihad, and so is Al-Qaeda. And now they have 8,000 cell groups here in America ready to launch an attack anytime they receive the orders for it. You understand what I'm telling you? Do you understand how serious is the decision Congress was making this week over immigration? Did you hear anything in the papers or in the news about the threat of Islam? No. No, they're talking about poor Mexican migrants who've been crossing the border for years, whose families are starving down in Mexico, and they come here to get a job and send their money home, and many of them drive home every night only to return early in the morning. Many of them are my friends. Is that our problem? When was the last time you thought there was a Mexican cell group ready to blow up the United States? No way. The problem is Islam. I'm down at the border last year, El Centro, Mexicali. By the way, I've been asked to go down there and speak again. But anyway, I was down there, and we were looking at the border problem. And one of the border guards, who is a Christian, is talking to me. He said, we got a real problem here. Look at all these people. I don't know what we're going to do. And I'm looking around, and all of a sudden I see this group, and I say to him, what about those guys? Ah, they're just Mexican migrant workers. I said, no, they're not. He looked at me and said, what do you mean they're not? Do you know them? I said, no, but I can tell you right now, they're not Mexican migrant workers. He said, how do you know? I said, because I know Mexican migrant workers, and those guys are not Mexican migrant workers. He said, well, they said they were. Well, they're not. Number one, they don't have beards. They have mustaches. I'm not kidding you, folks. He looks over there and he says, well, I'll be. They all have beards. I said, number two, Mexican migrant workers do not iron their pants with a crease in it. And he's looking over this. Well, I had never noticed that. Well, you better start noticing it. Oh, they had turned their baseball caps around like many of the Mexican migrants. They thought they were going to get in right. You know, they did stop them. Praise the Lord. There were 42 guys from Islam. They were coming to America to do their dastardly deeds. but they tried to disguise themselves as Mexican migrant workers. Look, folks, let's stop playing games. We have a serious problem in this country. And you think it's bad here, you ought to live in Israel. Israel has been chosen by God as a nation and a people to reflect the character of God to an entire world that doesn't even understand him. But you know what? Israel is hated by this world. They think Israel's the reason why we're having all these problems. On the contrary, Israel's the only one in our behalf who's defending us in a way we don't even understand. But Israel isn't going to play around with Hezbollah in Lebanon like they did last summer. For instance, today, the Israeli Air Force is bombing all the Hamas headquarters in Gaza. Immediately, many people in the press and on the news have been saying, isn't that horrible? Horrible? They shot 5,000 rockets at Israel. You got to do something. You have to defend yourself. Why am I telling you all this? Because I'm talking about hope. Turn to Ezekiel 37. You got your Bible open? Ezekiel chapter 37. There was a day a long time ago that we had the same kind of a situation. In fact, worse. The attack had already come. It came from Babylon. Babylon? Do you realize that Iraq and Iran today are ancient Babylon? In fact, they quote the history of the Bible about the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC, and they teach that we're going to do it again. It's unbelievable. But we don't get it here. We're trying to act like, oh no, you know, if we just negotiate, talk with them, they'll be all right. No, they won't. It's like the Palestinian covenant. How many people here in this room have read the Palestinian covenant of the PLO? Raise your hand, please. You've read it. My hand is up because I've read it. Do you think Americans have read that? No, they haven't. Now we have another problem. We have the Bush administration with a roadmap to peace to help us make negotiations with the PLO's covenant. I've read the covenant. What's wrong with the covenant? The Palestinian covenant calls for the destruction of the nation of Israel and the United States 38 times. And we're trying to help those people? Now, we have the roadmap. If you want to know what I think about the roadmap, you can call our ministry at 1-800-75-BIBLE and ask for my tape on what's wrong with the roadmap. I delivered it to a Jewish synagogue. You have to hear it. I read the roadmap. It violates everything that's in the Bible. And this is our president's plan, along with Putin of Russia and the European Union and the United Nations. That's about everybody, isn't it? And they have a plan to have Israel divided into two states. Yet my Bible in Joel and in Daniel 11 says if you divide the land of Israel, you're going to be judged by God. Are you all listening? I don't know whether you are or not. Say yes, so I'll go on. Okay. Now back 2,500 years ago, that's a long time. 2,500 years ago, we have a terrible problem. Israel's been attacked by Iran and Iraq, who was then called Babylon. And the city's been destroyed, the Temple of Solomon destroyed, 2,500 years ago. What do you think Israel felt? Well, let's read about it. Ezekiel the prophet comes along to those in captivity in Babylon and knows that they're in trouble. In this book, I don't have the time to go over this, but in this book, Ezekiel says, I sat where they sat and I wept with those that wept. These people had broken hearts. They didn't listen to the prophets of God who warned them that judgment was coming. They didn't listen to them. Now, Ezekiel the prophet comes to them and gives them a vision. It's called the dry bones. Have you ever heard that song? Them bones going to walk around, you know, and neck bone connected to the backbone, all that stuff. That's based on this story. It's a vision of dry bones that all of a sudden come to life and get flesh on them. So we're going to jump over the vision and read the interpretation of it. I don't need to have anything to say about it. It already says so. Look at verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now I know what he's talking about. Behold, they say, watch this, our bones are dried and our hope is what? Lost. Same thing many Americans are saying right now. We get it all the time in our radio broadcasts. People call us. They don't have hope anymore because of everything they're hearing on the news and reading in the paper and seeing in our world. The world is crazy. Our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the, what? Land of Israel. And that's Israel is the official name of that land. It is not just Israel. It is land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, shall put my spirit in you, you will live, I'll place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen? If I were you, I'd say amen, because God is listening. He could easily zap you for your silence. Amen? Yeah, praise God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, all the way through history, we've had moments like that. And we got another one now. As a matter of fact, what happened then, God tells us is going to happen again, very soon. Israel's going to be attacked again. Every Hebrew prophet spoke about it. It's on the agenda. It's going to happen. Turn to Romans chapter 8. In Romans, which is a very Jewish book, you say, how do you know it's a Jewish book? Because it asks questions that nobody answers except with another question. That's Jews. When I talk to my Jewish friends, that's what they do. You ask them, how are you? They never say fine like all of you do. They say, why do you ask? And you answer and say, why? Do you think I have a problem because I asked? No, did I say you have a problem? You see, it's just questions. Before you know it, you're in a serious argument. You don't know how it happens. It's just your culture. Okay? When I first studied Romans in college, I took a Greek class in Romans, and the moment I saw it, I knew right away, this is Jewish stuff. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer? And you feel like screaming saying, what's the answer? Well, if you're understanding how Jews talk, the answer is in the question. Everybody okay? You're not sure. You don't know where I'm going with it. Romans 8, verse 18. Watch this. Our subject is what? It's what is hope. I'm destroying the equipment. Romans 8, verse 18. You got your Bible open? Watch this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. I'm reading the old King James because I'm an old person. Okay, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Boy, I'll tell you, we are groaning. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves. Do you know that 40% of all kids in America are graduating from high school illiterate? 40%. It's worse in Los Angeles. You say, so what? So what? Did you also know that in Los Angeles, and it's worse than New York and Detroit and Chicago on this, but in Los Angeles alone, the average junior high boy already has a gun. Now, when you have people who are not real smart, at least they've never had the advantage of learning anything and are declared to be illiterate, but they have a gun, what do you think is going to happen? You sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind, the Bible says. We got ourselves a problem in this country. So what we need to do is move to Toodle, Washington. Okay? Verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for what? The adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, if you're young, you don't get it. If you're older, it's frightening as you realize your body is falling apart. Amen? You say, man, I came here tonight and that's all we're going to get? Oh, it's going to get worse. I'm just warming up. See, when you get older, everything either hurts or doesn't work. And you know you need a new body. See, that's God's sweet way of preparing you for heaven. He's going to make you aware that you need a change. Amen? Hair shows up where you never thought it would. And it leaves and departs places where you wish it would stay. Now look at verse 24. We are saved by doing the best we can in this rotten world of ours. Is that what it says? No, it says we're saved by what? Anyone? Hope. Well, you did right in quoting Ephesians 2:8, saved by grace. But not in this passage. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose, those who love God. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now watch the Jewish stuff here. What shall we then say to these things? It's answered with another question. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Another question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Another question. It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Another question. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.